Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspire Choices Network, where my name, of course, is Charisse Alexander, your host. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about what I'm learning about myself right now. It's time to do some real-time reflection in a season that did not unfold in the way that I expected it to. I literally just got off a plane from Nigeria, and the plan for this first quarter was set with so much intention and structure and expectation for myself and the things that I had every intention of doing. And instead, what I found myself doing was sitting with feelings of not doing enough, not being enough, all kinds of internal pressure. And really, I felt so much unsettlement within myself. And I found that there were often days where I'd be like, what am I missing? What am I not doing? So today, what I'm going to be talking about are some of the questions that I really needed to face for myself in terms of what I'm doing, what my plans are, what my intentions are, so on and so forth. And given that it is now April 1st, and the end of the first quarter has come and gone. I don't know about you guys, but personally, this time is just absolutely flying. And I find myself often reflecting on what did I plan at the beginning of this cycle or this season, and what did I actually get done? And today is just one of those days full of firsts because we are live today, which is fantastic. And of all days to be live, I had very little time to do any sort of planning. So it's so outside of my comfort zone, where I love to have things planned well in advance, where I know what I want to be talking about. And I come into situations feeling very, very structured and grounded and settled. And so what happens when we plan for all of this structure and grounding and settlement, and otherwise what we get instead is a scenario that feels very much outside of our control and a little bit like organized chaos. So what I'm going to be sharing today is really my expectation of what this first quarter would have been and the reality of it. So the last couple of months, as I said in the very beginning, I had all these plans of what I was going to do when I went back into Nigeria. And, you know, it was New Year, so I had all of these goals and these things that I wanted to accomplish and these systems and these processes and all the things. And what I often felt as I was going through it was, why does this feel so hard? Why is this not going as smooth as I thought it would? And there would be days where I would literally just pause and I would be like, it's not moving in the direction or as fast, really more as fast as I wanted it to move. And so when I started listing out the things that I was working on, so, you know, I was working on new processes and procedures and SOPs and systems and building these things from scratch, in a time where we are ridiculously short-staffed. And, you know, I look at these things and I think I put really unrealistic expectations around them. And I don't know, part of that pressure was from myself. Part of the pressure was from what I could see very clearly the business needs. In addition, it was pressure from staff asking for these things to be in place. And as I tell my people all the time, everybody has somebody that they need to be accountable for or to. Doesn't matter if you're an owner, if you're an employee, a CEO, a managing director, there's still somebody that you have to be accountable to in addition to yourself. And so there's all of these external parties that need these things. And so that's where the pressure came from. But then when I took a step back and looked at like what I was trying to plan and execute, I realized that, okay, what I'm building here is not something that's going to take 30 minutes. It's not something that's going to take 45 minutes. It's something that requires like real thought and real connecting of everything that goes on with a specific process and thinking about the best case scenario, the worst case scenario, the problems that can come throughout that. And every time I would put something in, I'd be like, oh, I didn't really think that through. I'd come up with another obstacle. So at one point, I remember saying to somebody, I'm not going to sacrifice good for great. We just need to start. I need to stop trying to iterate this until it's perfect. And that is the lesson that I came away with so resoundingly after this first quarter, is that often we, maybe not often, but sometimes I think we find ourselves in scenarios where we are trying to make something perfect before we actually just go ahead and do the thing. And what was more important at this point in time? I needed to realize that what I needed is I needed a system that worked and that it would be in constant refinement. And as I work with, you know, AIs and developers and things like that for some of the technology that I want to put in place, they even continued to reiterate to me that a system is never perfect because you're going to deploy it. You're going to try it in like a real live environment, and there's going to be refinements because there's a difference between what I see and experience as a leader versus what the people in the trenches are actually experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And the challenge is, or the goal is, to actually bring those two gaps closer together so that we can refine systems and processes that actually are seamless and in the way that they work and in the way that we develop them. So even though I didn't get the things done that I had planned, there's so much more that ended up happening within that. It allowed me to take a step back and look at the way that I look at actually getting, look at doing things and getting things done. And I'm sometimes the person who looks at something and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and we're going to do it in this time frame, and it's going to be perfect. And when I took a step back and was having these conversations around these systems that I wanted to deploy, I realized that as much as I want to fix everything in one fell swoop, what I needed to do instead was to just look at the very critical things that needed to be addressed and start with those first. And I think it's such a great analogy for life, because sometimes when you're going through life, and you've got all these challenges that are coming up, it can feel really overwhelming because it's just like there's so many things that might be wrong or out of alignment, and you want to go ahead and tackle everything at the same time. But what I realized is that that's not always the best way to do it. Sometimes we just got to deal with one thing first, and sometimes it settles everything else, or it has this ripple effect in settling things that are connected to it down, so that maybe, so let's say, for example, you've got five problem areas in your life or in your business. And let's say, let's talk about it in the context of life for a moment. So let's say you're in a relationship you don't love, your close personal relationships are being challenged, you don't feel good about the way that you look, you're not in a job that you love, and your money situation is challenging you. Okay, that would feel very overwhelming for anybody. But what can you take a look at first? So let's say it was, okay, I'm going to, if you're somebody where personal relationships are really important to you, you might start there. And I would probably pick the thing that matters to you most. And so what I imagine happens, and this is how I'm starting to like maybe look at facing these challenges or these misalignments, not only in my personal life, but in my work life as well, is what needs my attention most first. And let me just focus on that one thing, and let's figure out how to ease some pressure in that one thing first. It sounds super commonsensical. I know it does. But when you're in the middle of the storm and everything just feels like it's just coming at you from all different angles, it doesn't necessarily feel so obvious in that moment. So when I started to look at, so for me in our business, now if I take this to the business piece of things, my people are the most important thing in my work capacity. Because even though we've got technology and innovation and all these other kinds of things, the reality is for the work that we do, technology can't fix everything. So I have to have really, really good people to help make my load lighter. And I went into the start of this year, I think we had like 8 or 10 positions that were open, which is a lot. That's like 20% of what we need with vacancies. And so what we focused on very intentionally was, okay, I got to start filling these positions. So, you know, it's probably really useful to do this inventory, because even right now I'm just like, oh, wow, we filled all of them. I think there's only one position that's remaining, but ever aside from that, all the other critical positions were filled, which entered in another problem. Space. So do you see what I mean when I say you solve one thing and it just kind of, and I don't even like to refer to these things as problems. I found myself saying frequently on this trip when we would be lamenting our problems, I would say to myself and my partner, I'd say, hey, you know what? Let's not call these problems. Let's call these opportunities. Because, you know, years ago when we were just starting out, these were the things that we wanted in our life. These were the things that we called in. The experience that we're having right now is the one that we wanted. And so, of course, now that they're showing up and we've manifested them and we're living them, it opens up all these other opportunities for growth and learning and all of those good things. So great, I solved these, filled these 8 positions or whatever the case may be. And now it's opened up all these new opportunities that also now need to be addressed. So that's a great opportunity to have. And I'm so, so grateful that we did actually manage to get that much done, which is fantastic. And I think that it's really important that, so when we talk about the things like, where did this pressure come from? I was able to see very clearly that the pressure was coming from outside of me. But I have enough pressure that I put on myself, but there were so many other external factors that were coming in and pressing and pressing. And because I'm somebody who likes to not rush through things and like try and make sure that I dot all my I's and cross all my T's, I remember I was putting in a new appraisal system. And I mean, I was really working on this thing. I was trying to automate it. I was trying to do all this other kind of stuff without the support in order to do it. And it turned into this thing where finally the CEO was like, just do it. Just get it done. You're overthinking it. And I wasn't overthinking it. I know that I wasn't overthinking it, because now we did. So good news number 2 is we did actually, you know, I put the system together. We deployed it. People are using it, and now expectations are aligned. And that's why it was so important, because we started out the beginning of this year where we were saying to people, here are the organizational goals. Here are what our expectations are of you. We're going to put this system in place. And it's really important to me as a leader to make sure that if we're going to ask people to do something, that they're clear on what that ask is, number one. And number 2, the most important thing that came out of that, because there's been this feeling of like friction. And what I mean when I say friction is that, and I feel this too, right? I also got an appraisal and I did not do good, which I'm not necessarily proud to say, but I'd already felt that. I already knew that I wasn't fulfilling the things that I need to do. And I could give 1,000 reasons why I wasn't doing it. But at the end of the day, I just recognized that as soon as I begin to put these things in place, not only for my people, but myself as well, then I can have a sense of like actually making meaningful progress. And the reality is that one of the things that we did, and when I talk about aligning expectations, was it's like, okay, here actually what your KPIs are, your objectives. These objectives all support the organization. Here's where you are at this point in time. And it's funny because before I would have these conversations, I prefaced it always with saying, I need you to be really honest with yourself when you do this assessment. And I would tell people, I'm like, I did this for myself as well. So I'm not speaking from a place where I can't understand and I can't appreciate, I can't do any of those things. I've done this for myself. I went through it with the CEO and I was basically like, you know, it doesn't feel good when we are looking at something and we're working so furiously. And I think this is where the challenge was, right? We're all in this workplace and we're working so ferociously to achieve our goals. And the question I would pose is, the effort and energy that you're putting in, is it helping to support the company in the way that it needs to be supported to meet its organizational objectives? And so when I asked myself that question, and when I looked at the things that are part of my role, I was able to be really, really honest and objective with myself and say, no, I wasn't. And so when I sat with the CEO and I was like, because I'll be honest, I recently did a little assessment to figure out like, how do I receive information? And because I'm someone who's led by emotions, compassion, empathy, community, those kinds of things, I can have a tendency to really personalize feedback. The good news is that I'm also someone who likes data and can, once I've, you know, push the story aside to revisit later and what it means to me, I can look at the data and really be very honest with what the data is. So before I continue talking about what that assessment looked like, we are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about my own appraisal and how that led into the feelings of not enough. So we'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am sharing what I'm learning about myself right now in very, very real time. And I feel like sometimes it's important for the things that I'm sharing on this podcast to be processed in like real time. And why do I want to do that? I want to do it so that you understand that I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all figured out. All that I'm doing is sharing my own experience about the things that I'm going through personally and professionally and how they show up in real time. So with all the pressure of all the commitments that I make as a leader in the organization, you know, in my life, and then always constantly going through this looking internally. So it's crazy because even now that I think about it, this is the dance that I'm talking about, right? How do we take these personal development and spiritual development practices and modalities and weave them into the fabric of everyday life? And that's what the point of this is to show you that there's zero perfection in this. I do not, let me watch my verbiage. There is zero perfection in it. I am like every single one of you who is truly trying to do the best I can with the tools and resources that I have at my disposal and share those with you in real time as I have these experiences. So right before we went to commercial break, I was talking about a recent project that I did finish. Yay! Appraisals, such an important part of any organization. But it was important to me because we set really aggressive goals for the organization. And we needed our people to understand and acknowledge that as much as you are working so hard, is your effort actually the energy and effort that you're expending, is it actually serving the company's objectives that they need served, right? So we all had to take a step back. And before we started doing this, I got to witness one discussion around performance appraisals. And this is when I knew that I had to do something a little different. And the person that was doing the appraisal, so I sat in on it, and the person that was doing the appraisal just delivered the information. And the person who was receiving the information was really personalizing it. And it became very emotional very quickly. And we only did one. And this is what I mean about systems, right? And having to refine them as you go along. And I was like, okay, we can't do this like this because this is not going to go well. Now, I'm happy to report that after lots of conversation and lots of space for open dialogue, you know, everything kind of turned around, and then there was understanding without the feelings being attached that, you know, you don't need to personalize this. So I take this back to my lab and I'm like, okay, we got to frame this in a little way, in a different way, so that people don't get the wrong message. So I wish I brought the book today, but I did not. It's tucked away in a suitcase somewhere. I had done this assessment a couple years ago. It's Colors, Personalities by George something. I'll drop it in the show notes at some point in time. And it was really helpful. Four color personalities, blue, green, orange, and gold. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to get my leaders to do this first. I want them to assess themselves, figure out what their two dominant colors are. So for those of you who are not familiar with the colors personalities, there's many, many different variations of this type of context out there. This one I find to be very, very simple because there's only four colors. And so blue people are generally your community people, they're team leader, like they're team oriented, they're compassionate, empathetic, that's their people who score high in blue, that's what they're all about. Green, data, give me the information, very, very analytical and logical. Orange, high energy, driven, direct, give me information and give it to me directly and in short bits, borderline rude. And I entered that last part in, but just very, very direct, could come across as being abrasive. And the last category is gold. And gold people are all about systems and organization and structure and foundation. They're generally speaking your accountants, things like that. So I had all my leaders do this. And it was really informative. Some people I nailed, like I had known what they were before they had even done the assessment. And when I gave them the context, and I was very clear when we did this exercise at the office, that there is no right or wrong. We all have these colors that dwell within us. It's just when we, our default mode, when we're maybe feeling a little stressed. So the reason why this was important is that when I explained it to this particular leader that was doing this assessment, he was a high orange followed by green. Now, remember, I said high orange means direct, to the point, almost like very blunt, and followed up by green, which is about the data. And that's how he was delivering this information. It was almost like, here we are, like these are the things you needed to do and you didn't do them. Full stop. No softening it. No, you did really good. None of that. It was just straight up, here are the facts, and very, very direct. The person who was receiving it, now I know this person. So my bet is that if this person did the assessment today, they would have a high blue in there, probably followed by green. And their reaction is what tells me that they are probably a high blue. So when I talked to this leader, I said, do you see now why this person received the information as an attack on them? You were being yourself, which is orange and green, and they are being themselves, which is blue and something else. So where I left it with my leaders is I said, listen, your job as a leader in this organization is to modify your delivery. It's not the content you need to deliver or to modify. It's the delivery, especially if you're interested in people receiving the information, because communication is a two-way street. It is not just about, can I deliver a message? You have to be able to learn how to couch information so people can ultimately receive that information. Long gone are the days where, as leaders, we can just say, do it because I said you should do it. Those days are gone. They're changing. These new younger generations are coming in and they're asking questions. You know what? Good for them. They should ask questions. That's called critical thinking. Hey, I'm curious about this, or this doesn't feel right. This feels out of alignment, and we should encourage people to have open dialogue. Otherwise, how do we as society grow and evolve and learn if we're not willing to hear what other people's thoughts, feelings, and ideas are on certain things? So anyways, long story short, why do I bring that up? Because I had to do the same thing for myself. The CEO of our organization is, he's like high orange as well, followed by green. And I am a blue green. So when I was getting my own appraisal, I was really personalizing it, like really, really personalizing it. Like I wasn't crying or being emotional or any of those things, but internally I was like starting to tell myself a story. I suck. I'm not good enough. I'm not good at my job. Am I ever going to get this? Like these were all the questions, all the stories that were literally on autoplay. And that should show you that as much as like I'm on this journey with like so much intention, so much awareness, like on a daily basis, I'm practically always asking myself questions about the way I respond in situations. And here I am faced with feedback that I did not like hearing. Now, remember, my second color was green. So I was quickly able to, so I moved away from the conversation. Off I went to like, look at my KPIs, give my, and look at it and really assess myself. And then I came back to the table and I was like, okay, you weren't wrong. You were right. You were right that I have not achieved organizational objectives. So let's dialogue about it. Now, because our CEO can be very direct and very to the point, I also said, you know that I'm a blue, which means that I'm sensitive. So I would really appreciate it if you could deliver the information in a way that I will hear it. Because that is, as a leader, and this is what I left my leaders with, was which was I could not say this to them enough. If you're going to want to lead in the way that the world is evolving, then I'm not saying to change yourself. I'm not saying that the things that you want to share don't matter. The content that you believe or the message that you need to deliver isn't important. I'm not saying to lower the bar on any of those things. But what I am saying is that there is a way that we can deliver messages so that they land within someone so that they can actually hear it. Because not everybody has emotional intelligence, emotional awareness, emotional maturity to be able to say, okay, I'm going to strip away my feelings from this for a moment and just listen to the content of what is being said. Not everybody is there on their journey. So you have to ask yourself as a leader, not just in business, but in life, what's more important? Is it saying it the way that you want to say it because it feels good to you in the moment? Or is it saying it in a way that the person will receive it and you will get the elicit the change and evolution that you're looking for to meet whatever the objective is, personally or professionally? Now, the other part of this, which I haven't even touched on, was all the stories of not being enough, not being enough, not doing enough, just all the things, blank, not enough. And I had to really sit with that. I mean, like on a daily basis, I was sitting with that question and all these external pressures. But I think at one point, what really actually helped me to move through that was to, like, first of all, I employed just a super simple system where I have this whiteboard in my office and I just wrote down three things. I put a visual on there, an affirmation to, like, just remind myself of what we're building. And I drew it out. I mind mapped it. And I'm like, these are the things that we need. And then I just had three simple things on the board. And all that I would do is I would say, okay, today, these are the three things that I need to do. I might have a list of 30 or 40 things. You should see my planner. It's disgusting. And I try not to look at it because it'll give me a sense of anxiety. But instead of, like, worrying about the 100 things that are on there, I'm like, which three things are the most critical that I need to get done today? And that's all that I focused on. So that by the end of the day, I could begin to feel this sense of accomplishment. It's not realistic to have a to-do list of 100 things and think I'm going to get through 100 things. We're not talking about 100 tasks. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 100 maybe systems, processes, procedures, like all the foundational things that are in constant need of refinement, especially as you're scaling. What in my right mind actually made me think that I could do 100 things in a day or in a week? It just was not even a realistic expectation. So my lesson for myself here is that when we begin to have these stories that emerge, you know, pause. And trust me, I let myself. I've locked my door and I had a solid cry. And I just let myself feel all the things that were bubbling beneath the surface, and then, you know, wiped my tears, washed my face, reapplied the makeup, unlocked the door, and wrote my list and got back to it. And I'm like, okay, so instead of looking at 100 things, let me look at three. And I was very focused on the three things. And at the end of the day, the next day when I came back, and I'm like, okay, I've done my part. I've, you know, pushed it up the chain to the next person who needs to look at it. And I had a sense of accomplishment. So what did I learn in that moment? Grace. Have grace for myself. And even more importantly, have grace for my people when I'm working with them. And so even when I was doing these appraisals and the like, I was saying to people, this is not perfection. I just need us to start. I'm looking for progress. I'm not looking for, you know, 100% across the board. What I'm looking for is the progress and the teeny tiny baby steps towards fulfilling these organizational objectives. So with that, we are going to go ahead and take our next break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about environment and misalignment and what that meant on this trip. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am sharing what I'm learning about myself right now, here in real time. And I've just been sharing in the first couple of segments my experience in the first quarter of 2026, where I went into the first quarter having, like all of us, all of these plans and these goals and these commitments to 2026 and what I would build, and very quickly being faced with opportunities, which is my code word for challenges, but opportunities to grow and learn and evolve. And sometimes these things are actually done in the quiet, right? Like in the, like right now for me in the very real time, because I just got back literally hours ago. I got off a plane. So for me, it's, I'm processing this actually as I'm having this conversation with you guys here today. So I was talking about appraisals that I was doing in the organization. And furthermore, I was being appraised myself, which was not a super positive experience. And what I mean when I say that is I was real in terms of my assessment. But what I say, what I mean when I say not positive is like all the stories that were like lingering beneath the surface and came out to have like a full play date with me. And really just, you know, apply a lot of pressure that I did not need. And I think that's an important part of this growing and learning and evolving journey is as we learn about ourselves, I think it becomes really important to be able to dialogue with those that are around us and express like the best way for them to effectively communicate with us. And that was like one of the lessons that had come from this is that, you know, in speaking with our CEO after his appraisal of me, I was just like, listen, I'm very sensitive and I'm not going to apologize for being sensitive because that part of me is, I think, what was one of my gifts. One of the beautiful things about myself is that I do wear rosy colored glasses 99.9% of the time. And that's what allows me to approach humanity instead of within a place of judgment, being heart open and being led by compassion and empathy. So I don't ever want to change that part of me. What I look to balance it with is that secondary piece of me that is driven by data and analytics and logic. And I think that those things can play very nicely together when we're aware of it. So it's no different than, you know, divine masculine energy and divine feminine energy. It's very similar in terms of having this heart-centered approach to things being, and then the second piece of me being data-driven. And so the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I was finally able to say, I hear you. I agree with you. Please deliver it in a way that I will hear you without all the feelings attached to it. I've got all my feelings already that are constantly on autoplay, and it would assist me greatly if we could do it in this format. Now, I'll let you know when the next appraisal happens, which is in a month, how that goes. But I think how I can preempt that is I'll do the appraisal myself first. And I will push it to him and say, okay, here's my assessment of myself. Let's schedule a meeting so we can have a conversation about it. And you can give me some data that's, or you can give me some feedback that's grounded in fact. So that's me taking initiative and to degree control of the situation so that we can have this feedback dialogue in a way that I like to receive feedback, which is, yes, I can be very professional and put feelings aside and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, I'm very clearly saying this is how I need to receive data. You can give it to me direct, but I'm going to set the container for what that looks like. And so that's me like standing in my own authority and my sovereignty and saying I can take the data and I want it, but this is how I want you to deliver it to me so I can truly hear what the feedback is and grow and improve, because I'm somebody who is always looking for growth and development and movement and evolution. I am very intentional about it. So it's not ever that I don't want the feedback, but I do want it delivered to me in a very, very specific way. So this is what I mean when I talk about environment and misalignment. So the environment that I operate in is one that is very, very fast paced. It's dynamic. It's constantly changing. There's lots of energy. It's like it almost feels like it's just such a constant flurry of activity. And I'm someone who can be in that energy. But I generally speaking, this trip, what I saw a lot of in myself was very locked in on putting together systems and processes that people can understand. And it's complex. So sometimes I'd be working on something and I'd want to, like, because of the way that I think through things, I was over-engineering it. And I quickly realized if I over-engineer this thing, nobody is going to use it. And that's being cognizant of the environment. I might love technology and see how it can help everybody, but if the people who are going to use the tools don't see it and don't buy into it, they're never going to use it. And I'm going to be really frustrated because I'm going to be like, oh, I put all this time, effort, energy into this thing and nobody's using it. So this is why the environment and being aware is like so critical, because the environment is one of, we're stabilizing. And while we're trying to stabilize, we're also growing. So it's like, I just want you to imagine for a second that I'm building a house, but I'm building a house that's growing rapidly, and I'm building it in sand, quicksand, kind of, and I don't have the right anchors yet to build this structure. Okay, we're not going to use quicksand because that seems impossible, but let's just say sand, because sand is very shifty, right? So in other words, it's moving a lot. So just imagine you're trying to build this organization and you're building it in sand and you don't have the right anchors yet, and you're trying to lay down foundation, and this thing is building very, very quickly and moving and shifting, and the design is shifting. So I'm saying it like that so you can understand the energy of the environment. And I'm someone who always tries to be like really calm and centered within that. And it'd be funny because there'd be lots of days where I would, you know, call my friends and I'd be like, I don't know, man. I just feel like there's nothing, like there's a lot going on externally, but there's nothing going on externally that can account for this level of chaos that I feel internally. And so when I take a step back from it all and take a look and I can be really honest, then I can say, well, of course you were feeling that way. Like, look at what I just described, trying to build this organization, scale it, grow it, building it in what feels like sand and not necessarily having the right anchors in place in order to support massive growth that's growing quickly. So when I can put it like that, I'm like, well, no wonder, right? So this is where that grace comes in, right? To have some grace and forgiveness. And even if the people, places, and the environment doesn't support it, I'm certainly aware enough that I can have that grace for myself, recognizing what the environment is doing and wants to do, and how can I calm and anchor myself within that. So during this trip, there was lots of writing, lots and lots of writing, and a little bit of crying, if I'm being really honest. Just lock that door, have a cry, and, you know, get it out of my system and keep it moving. And even now, as I'm thinking about it, you know, what would have probably been really valuable for me that I should have taken more, more time for is I can only think, I had this plan at the beginning of the year that I was going to take a day a week to really ground and center myself and work from home. And I only did it once because every single day felt like I needed to be in that environment. Every day felt like that. So every day I would think about it, and then I would look at my calendar and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't. Like, I have to go in. I made all of these meetings and all these appointments, and I can't not be there because I already planned for it. So memo to self, when I go back, I am going to like put it in my calendar that and block the whole day so that people, you can't work with me that day. That's a day for me to do the things that I need to do as a leader in the organization. And so that I don't feel so overwhelmed within that. And my position allows me to be able to do that, not because I'm a leader, but more because of the work that I do. It allows me to have that type of autonomy. And so I'm going to take that autonomy so that I can show up better for people instead of sitting in my bathroom crying. So that's super real, though. That's what happened. And then I think that the other part of this that I was really cognizant of is when you are working in an environment or in a system or even in a project or at a place in your life where there are very, very few people who really understand what you experience on a daily basis. It's really, you know, they say this, there's obviously the cliched saying of it's lonely at the top. That was really resounding on this particular trip, where it's like you're walking this journey and you're trying to do so much, and the people that you want to talk to don't really fully understand what that looks like. So before I dive into that a little bit more, we are going to take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk more and share more about the loneliness part of this journey that sometimes shows up. So we'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. Today, if you're enjoying this show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review on iTunes or your favorite listening and watching platform. I would be super grateful, and this will help in assisting us to get the information out there to those that need it most at this time. So on today's episode, what I've been sharing a lot of in super real and fresh time is what I'm learning right now. Q1 just ended, heading into Q2, came into the year with all types of plans, hopes, dreams, which actually all the hopes, dreams, and wishes are still there, but plans. And as I was on my way home, I was just thinking about what I didn't get done. I was so focused on what I didn't get done and how I failed and how I didn't do enough, how I wasn't enough. And really what I'm sharing with you is not the excuses around that, but just the awareness that I needed to have grace with myself in how that experience really looked. That even though I didn't accomplish all the things that I wanted to, and I didn't accomplish it in the way that I had anticipated that I was going to, I still managed to accomplish quite a bit. So right before we went to the last break, I was talking about the environment and misalignment. And one of the other things that I became really aware of is that, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily have the anchors around you that really fully understand your journey and the choices that you make and the things that are in your life and how you process information. And, you know, even though I have a support network of people around me, this particular trip felt slightly lonely in the sense that it felt like I was carrying like so much work-wise and trying to like process so much internally. But the work that we do, unless you're there, you know, you wouldn't understand it. There are very, very few people who understand it, number one. And number two, there are very few people that understand it in the way that I want to do it, right? Because there's an operating model of business that I would say is probably firmly in place in the environment. But I don't want to, I can't operate like that. It doesn't work with who I am and my core. It doesn't work with how I naturally move. And so there's this friction of, you know, being in an environment that doesn't naturally operate the way that I want to operate, trying to begin to shift that for the betterment of the organization overall, and then not feeling like there's necessarily all the supports that I need around to help hold me in a very personal way, right? So it was a lot to feel the support that I was looking for through what felt like a really tumultuous Q1. But again, you know, I'm somebody who tries to find those ways for myself. And I think that this is part of building that sovereignty that I was talking about, right? Instead of like having this expectation that there are going to be things, people, places, things and people outside of myself, what I'm learning at this moment in time is how do I create that for myself? Because what I can rely on is if I can tap into that thing that grounds me, centers me, keeps me calm, keeps me just like in a piece of peace and clarity as much as possible. And this isn't about having independence from the organization or, you know, my close relationships or even my romantic relationship. It's really just more being able to like tap into that part of myself that can keep me rooted and grounded. And I think that I've already shared here that one of the things that I did not do that I plan to do more of is just taking that time that I need for myself. You know, like even when I woke up this morning, it was crazy because it's like, you know, my phone's blown up. I literally got off a plane hours ago and I'm just like, I haven't even been gone for like, you know, 24 hours yet. Well, at that time, I don't think it was 24 hours. I'm like, and these are not things that need me. These are things that these folks absolutely are capable of managing on their own. And so this is why within the systems that I'm trying to build, I'm trying to help my people do the exact same thing. You have the answers. You know how to do this. You think you don't know this because environment has taught you that you don't know this or has conditioned you to think that these answers do not dwell within you. But I want my people to eventually get to a place where they are empowered, that they have the ability to find the information for themselves. It's not because I'm lazy. It's not because I don't want to work with people. It's not for any of those things. But I think the question that I pose to myself, and there's lots of business cases for this, how do you scale systems if people don't have a sense of empowerment within them? How do you realistically do that? And so everything that I do in my work with them is often like very question oriented. I think I had a few weeks ago, Brad Henderson, we were talking about the leader's paradox. And so even though I have the answer, and you know, here's the beautiful thing, it's rubbing off on people. But even though they'll come to me with a question, I'll often just ask them questions so that they come to the answer on their own. And one beautiful thing that I recognized is that I'm doing it, and I noticed that other leaders in the organization are doing it. They do not give the answer immediately. They will ask their staff, you know, questions that help people to understand that you already have the answer. You already know the answer to the question that you're asking, and it's not abandoning people. It's helping them to begin to find that confidence that even if they think that they don't have the answer to the question, it's actually dwelling there. They just maybe need to ask themselves or others around them more questions to get really solidified within what that answer looks like. So, you know, just coming back to this whole conversation around this acknowledgement that perhaps there was like a little bit of loneliness, I don't have the answer for it. I think that where I'm going to begin with that is simply in just taking that time that I need for myself when I feel it. And before I go back, I'm going to put it in my calendar and block like one full day a week where I do not go into the office and I can move myself into a place and space of grounding what I need to ground for myself. So I don't feel that sense of like overwhelm, and where these stories have the space to like really begin to come out to play, because there's nothing really good that comes out of that. There's nothing productive that comes out of that. And so all in all, what I want you to know is that this first quarter, all in all, was amazing, even though I feel like it wasn't. So thank you so much for joining me today on this episode here on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspire Choices Network. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective. The collective.